This isn't for everyone. It's for the ones who know the old system is broken and are ready to build something that lasts. Welcome to the Build with Bitcoin podcast.
Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. We're doing a year in review of 2025 as we get close to wrapping up the year. So I'm co-host Irán Muñoz, joined with co-host Lynn Bairstow. Hopefully you've heard some of our content. You're familiar with who we are and what we're doing at Build with Bitcoin. But the purpose of today's episode is to kind of do a recap of the year, not necessarily on the exact content, which we do a consistent job of through our highlight series, but more so how the podcast has evolved, what Lynn and I are observing, specifically getting into the structure of what we'll cover today. We're going to talk about the purpose of Build with Bitcoin, some key stats and findings on what we've observed through our conversations with startups and investors, how Build with Bitcoin and the services we provide have evolved throughout the course of the year, and you know what to expect next. So that all being said, first of all, thank you to all the listeners as well. This has been an incredible journey for both Lynn and I.
Yeah, Israel, like, I can't believe another year is coming to a close. And it just feels like we've been so busy this year. And I do feel really gratified that it feels that there's a lot going on in innovation. When we first started Build with Bitcoin, our whole idea was to have conversations that focused on innovation around the Bitcoin protocol, about the community of startups that is being formed, the investors who are specifically supporting the Bitcoin startup ecosystem, and less about macroeconomic outlooks or adoption or how you get into Bitcoin, but really more for the innovators and the entrepreneurs and the investors that are creating the foundational infrastructure from which Bitcoin-oriented financial services and other services on the Bitcoin protocol will evolve. And we didn't know what we would expect. I think if you remember, Israel, when we first started back in April of 2024, you know, we started talking about, are there enough companies to interview? And there are. I mean, if anything, we have a shortage of time versus the amount of startups and innovation that's occurring. And we keep meeting these incredible founders that are really purely Bitcoin focused. And investors, there's still a tight community of investors that are dedicated to supporting Bitcoin companies. That has that area, and we'll talk a little bit about it, but has grown less than the innovators that are building in Bitcoin. But I feel that this is a really exciting space. I can't believe there aren't more conversations around what's happening in Bitcoin innovation, but I do feel that we have been kind of at the front row seat of all that's happening in the Bitcoin protocol innovation. I don't know what you think, Israel.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very proud of what we're doing. And I do feel that we're accomplishing what we set out to do. I mean, from the very beginning, both you and I, given our backgrounds as well in the broader startup and VC space, we wanted, and we were just talking about this before the recording, right, that we want to make sure that we're the reference for innovation within the Bitcoin space. And so that's from day one what we've been focused on. And I do feel like we've come a long ways. And of course, there's still much yet to be seen and much yet to be covered. So 2026 forward will be incredibly exciting as well. But even in this year and a half, I do think that we've been able to successfully put a spotlight on all of the new business models that different founders and investors are supporting and creating on top of the Bitcoin protocol. I mean, it's fascinating. It's a very niche topic, of course, and you know, sometimes it can get a bit technical. We try not to let it get too technical in any of our episodes. But I do think, all that to say, Lynn, to answer the question, I do think we're doing a successful job at putting a spotlight into all the capabilities that the protocol has, apart from just being, you know, a hard asset or investment story, which of course is equally important.
Yeah, and I just want to highlight something that you had mentioned when we were talking right before recording, and you know, just when you look at 2025 in terms of Bitcoin, it has been a little surprising and disappointing, the price of Bitcoin today versus, you know, what the expectations were when we first started out the year with the, you know, the new administration going in with the U.S., that it ended up being very pro-Bitcoin and Bitcoin friendly, and the anticipation of what that might mean. I think the price targets for 2025 were much higher than where we look like we're going to end the year. But you and I don't really look at that. And so when we look at the rate of innovation and the success of the founders that have had, that have been working in the space for a few years, the up rounds that they're being able to finance their operations, and just the pace of change and the new tools and new, you know, that are making it easier for adoption and the infrastructure build out, it's like there's tremendous reasons to be incredibly optimistic. And if the technology leads and the tools lead the price, then I think we're in for just outstanding years ahead. And I appreciate you bringing that up. There's that dichotomy between, you know, what people in the macro world are talking about in terms of Bitcoin price and what we in the innovation world of Bitcoin are looking at.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because I do think a lot of people will find that relevant. I mean, it is very obvious that there is some dull sentiment out there right now with, you know, it being a flat year. But to your point, I mean, everything going on in the background, which is what we cover, of course, on this podcast, is incredibly exciting and points to just fundamentally. So, I mean, I think whether you're an investor or a builder, the fundamentals are improving vastly. You know, like the network's growing stronger, it's getting friendlier, it's growing faster, it's globalizing. So, yeah, it's a very positive year underneath the hood. Price, of course, can mess with sentiment. We're emotional human beings, and of course, you know, there's bills to be paid and all that stuff, but that's all more superficial short-term factoring. So yeah, I mean, that all being said, as far as just basic stats for the year, so what we've been able to cover, and both with startups, mostly founders, that's what we tend to focus on, and as well as ecosystem support, investors, what 2025 looked like for us, Lynn, was we're closing the year on 50 episodes. Roughly half of those were with startups, which is very exciting. I mean, because when you think about it, that's over 20 different companies and builders in a space that's still in the very, very early stages of its technology growth. And we were able to talk to over 20 of these different builders and founders within the space. The rest, the other half, was split roughly between deep dive episodes, investors as well, most of those being VC dedicated funds, although we have covered others, and then the highlights that we do. So that's kind of the statistics and what the broad overview is of 2025. Any thoughts there, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, just on the startup side, you know, we mentioned that we're pleasantly surprised at how much innovation is occurring in this space. But our startup episodes range from startups that are just launching with, you know, without having raised outside funding, that were self-funded. In fact, one company comes to mind that we interviewed them very early on, and then they recently got a, you know, larger investment from a VC fund. So just seeing the evolution of that early stage startup to startups that have raised significant amounts of funding from Silicon Valley outside of Bitcoin VCs. And so we really have covered a range of stages in terms of startup innovation. And we've gone back and revisited with a couple of startups that we talked to early on last year and just seeing the evolution of those. So we could have doubled the amount of startups, frankly. It's like we release approximately an episode a week, and we were able to keep to that cadence and really, you know, be consistent about our coverage. But, you know, there are a lot of startups that I think that we look forward to talking to in the future. So it's exciting to see that is continuing.
And on that point, I mean, for context, we every now and then we steer a slightly away from this framework, but it might be worth mentioning that we focus, when we're talking about startups, we focus on companies who already have some product market fit. So just to keep that in mind, I wouldn't necessarily call them mature startups, but these are companies that already have a product out in the market. They're testing it out. And in most of the conversations that we have, they've already identified exactly what niche market they're attacking, right? And to that point, I mean, some key findings, Lynn, as far as 2025, what we're seeing regarding trends or sectors, let me know your thoughts. When I was looking back at 2025 and the startups that we covered, there seems to be quite a few in the custody, lending, and just kind of remaking financial services, some basic financial services such as insurance, for example, for this digital capital and new digital money, which is Bitcoin. And on top of that, also a couple of, you know, newer, a lot more innovative and more greenfield business models that are anchoring to the infrastructure and or building out new infrastructure. But yeah, would you agree, Lynn?
Well, yes, I agree with you. And these are taking traditional financial services and remaking them on a Bitcoin standard, and even employee pension benefits and things like this. So we really, it shows the opportunity that whatever is existing in our current financial model can be completely remade on a Bitcoin standard. And often that looks very different than what it looks like in the current environment. But the successes that we're seeing in those, I think they're low hanging fruit, you know, because people can kind of put their mind, you know, from one to the other and make that bridge and say, wow, it can be so much better built on a Bitcoin standard. And then I think we are seeing some exciting, completely new tools that could only exist when you surround it or when you wrap it or make the foundation the Bitcoin protocol. Those are some, like, just thinking about, you know, just contracts based on the Bitcoin protocol and tools that are made to go in line with what the Bitcoin experience is when you're transferring value to value and what unique properties that includes. So, you know, those are some. And then I think the other trend that we saw is just really the evolution of these companies. Some of the ones that we talked to early on in the podcast journey and, you know, starting in April of 2024 are raising significantly more funding, or they found product market fit, where in the early interview, they were, you know, approaching different aspects of it. And then they found something that really locked on.
We also have spoken with a couple of the layer twos, one of them bringing a lot more programmability to Bitcoin. So I think there's still, of course, a lot to be seen 2026 forward. Of course, the biggest changes are I think, yet to come. But and then on the investor view, it's an interesting time. I want to get your take as well in, but I think investors are also having to be very in tune with the Bitcoin ethos of long-term view and patience, because this infrastructure, and to some it might even be frustrating, you know, to others maybe you're just conscious of this and it's not, which I think is the right approach for what it's worth. But it's the infrastructure and the business models, they're of course taking time to build out. And so, you know, sometimes you hear some critiques on, you know, there hasn't been many exits in Bitcoin, and you haven't had a lot of these like big name stories from, you know, the traditional VC exit side of things. And people sometimes point to that as a flaw or as some sort of proof that this isn't working or this isn't the right area to focus on. But of course, you and I disagree greatly on that point of view, and so do the few funds that we've spoken to this year. But what's your take on as far as the timeline there, Lynn?
Yeah, well, so much I want to contribute to your thoughts there. First of all, I think that this extended timeline and the patience is actually helping fix VC. So where VC kind of got off the rails a little bit in traditional tech, where they expected just super high multiples, exits fast because the funds needed to return. And so they put pressure on the investors to have these outside returns, or they wouldn't continue to support them. In the Bitcoin investment community, I see that the investors, the funds, have that Bitcoin ethos. So they have the long-term approach. They're more partners with their founding companies, and they are helping them create a path to profitability and not just a path to an exit round that gives them the outcome that they need as a fund. And I think in terms of this, I mean, we're seeing a couple really unique things in terms of founders putting part of their investment in a Bitcoin treasury strategy, which helps them reduce the need for future funding rounds in many cases. And that's allowed them to be more thoughtful about the capital that they're raising. We've also had some investors tell us that they're taking some of their returns or a payback from their investors in Bitcoin And so there are, you know, those companies that are generating Bitcoin as part of their revenue stream are able to pay back in Bitcoin. So we're seeing some unique models that kind of disrupt the whole traditional way of, you think of how a startup raises from a VC and the way that they return that investment to them is through an exit. And so I think what we'll continue to see are these innovative ways that Bitcoin is actually remaking VC. And that's really exciting to me. Having said that, the VC funds are also telling us that they have on paper really strong returns. Obviously, they're not, to your point, they haven't had exits yet or you know, certain instances where they can actually make that a public increment. You know, the valuations are continuing to go up. And so that's a healthy sign in the ecosystem. And it just, you know, continues to point out this incredible mismatch and misalignment between capital going in to support Bitcoin companies and capital going in to support other tokenized projects or other blockchains or other tech companies that are not operating on a Bitcoin standard. And so I applaud those VCs and investors that are being true to the Bitcoin ethos and investing in the pure Bitcoin protocol companies because they need the support. And I think we should see more money flowing into them as we start to see some exits and demonstrate the types of returns that are possible.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe just two final thoughts to add to this piece. One, also just to kind of keep things in perspective, it is to be expected that there's not many exits at this stage, right? Most of these funds, I would say, are probably, you know, on average between 1 to 2 to 5 years old at max. So a lot of these funds, I mean, they've only been deploying capital for, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, let's say. And that's pretty typical that you don't see many exits in a portfolio that young. So just keeping that in mind, just to contextualize as well. And then second thought there, you know, I think when you approach anything from the investing lens, you're looking at the opportunity set. And with Bitcoin, the asset, I would say most people come to some sort of realization that, wow, okay, this is in a bit of a binary outcome or event. Either Bitcoin works or doesn't, right? So, and if it doesn't, you know, of course, then you can justify that it should be zero or whatever, or close to zero. If it does work, it's certainly going to be, I'm not sure how, you know, maybe how much of the world's capital and savings it'll capture. That percentage, you know, many people have different models and estimates, but let's say in the binary outcome that it does work, it's certainly going to be worth more than 100,000, let's say, right? So that's what gets people very excited and talking about this risk reward in just Bitcoin, the asset itself. So when you kind of overlay that to the startup and VC sector, I think you have to keep that in mind, whether as an LP or as a general partner of any of these funds, you're taking the same kind of approach, right? Either this works, Bitcoin, the network, this works or it doesn't. If it does, then you better bet that it's going to be a multi-trillion-dollar economy that's being powered by a lot of these businesses that you're betting on, right?
I want to just give a shout out to Eric Yates and Epoch VC that this year, in February of this year, they came out with the first really comprehensive report on the Bitcoin ecosystem that includes number of startups, the geographies, the investment dollars that go into it, and a whole range of other metrics that I think are really important. I think the work they did was phenomenal. I think it's an important benchmark from which we can continue to follow the progression of the industry. So just, you know, for anyone who's interested in learning more about what sorts of dollars are flowing into Bitcoin VC or Bitcoin investments and what the startup ecosystem looks like, you know, we'll include a link in the show notes to that report, which is still very relevant and worth taking a look at.
Yeah, great mention, because they do a fantastic job compiling all the research and latest on the industry. Yeah, and as far as how we've grown, Lynn, it's been quite a discovery journey for us as well. I mean, I remember it, in our initial conversations, we were worried about maybe not even having enough startups to cover if we launched a podcast covering just the innovation side. And of course, that has not been a problem. We've we've grown as far as content, but not only content, also advisory services, which we decided to launch this year as well. And it kind of happened organically as a consequence to some of the points we were making earlier. I think it's still a largely ignored industry in the broader scheme of things. It's a very young ecosystem. And so a lot of this, even just ecosystem support and matchmaking between investors and founders and being able to find traction, find capital for your business model, all of this is still in development. And there's not that many experienced or well-connected people in the broader Bitcoin innovation space right now. It's growing and it's high quality, but that's kind of where we've found a niche, which speaks to our advisory services, right? One is for an interested investor and one is for the startup founders themselves. But yeah, maybe you can speak a little to that, Lynn.
Well, you know, going back to your point that neither of us came from a background of Bitcoin education or podcasting, that we're from VC startup mentoring, you know, and hands-on experience. And so I guess our lens was coming at it that way. And it was a natural evolution as we have conversations with a lot of these founders and pre and post recording, we get to chat with them and they're saying, yeah, we're raising it. And, you know, we really need some help with introductions to so-and-so, or we're not sure that our story is told correctly. You know, we did that pitch workshop at Bitcoin Conference 2024. And then we worked with the hackathon at the Bitcoin Conference 2025. And what we're learning is it's, you know, for a Bitcoin startup raising funds, you almost need two stories. You need one to tell to Bitcoin investors or Bitcoin, you know, angel investors who know Bitcoin, and another story to tell to somebody who's less familiar with Bitcoin, but might be a more experienced capital investor for venture. And so, you know, by helping them fine tune how their pitch deck should be laid out, how they should tell their story, we think we can contribute to greater success outcome for them. And then same with investors. I mean, we're talking to investors or we're talking to Bitcoiners who have been around for a while. And in addition to just holding Bitcoin, they want to support the ecosystem. And they also understand that, to your point, if this Bitcoin economy continues to grow, there are going to be outsized returns in the fundamental infrastructure companies that are building right now. And so they want to be a part of it. It's almost like thinking, you know, you're investing in the Google or the Amazon or the Apple of tomorrow, because these value transfer systems are being built on the Bitcoin protocol. So, you know, there are going to be some opportunities where it will outperform Bitcoin. And we're kind of have the front row seat to seeing who's creating some of these. Yeah, the advisory services we're very excited about. And so if you're interested in talking with us more about it, we'd love to talk to you and continue to really view that as a way of supporting the ecosystem and an extension of what we're doing in the network that we're building by talking to so many founders and investors in the space.
And we're able to help there because mostly two components, one being our experience and then two, the robust network that we have built out through the podcast. So we do both feel lucky. I mean, we talk about this a lot, right, Lynn, that we are connected with a lot of just amazing builders and investors in the space. So that network has grown to be quite robust, which allows us to contribute in this way.
And you recently put together a SPV, a special purpose vehicle for investing in a startup. And so that might be something that we do more of. Maybe you want to comment on what that looked like.
Yeah, and I'll keep it very broad because the startup hasn't actually gone public with round details. But just high level, I was able to collaborate with Stephen Cole, who we had on the podcast actually earlier this year, I believe, and who also brings tons of experience. But we were able to structure and collaborate on an SPV, which is a very interesting alternative as well. So basically, you know, when it's maybe past the pre-seed stage, it tends to be mostly just institutions or funds participating at that stage. So it's harder for individual checks to get in. And an SPV allows for a small list of investors to come together in this structure, which is essentially an LLC or, let's say, quote unquote, another fund that's participating in the round for a very specific purpose, you know, or special purpose, hence the name. Without getting into many details, because I want to respect the PR side of things, I think everyone was quite happy with how this came together. And it's a structure that we'll continue to explore and that could be useful for many other startups or cases.
I want to just talk about all the ways we contribute it to different conferences and events throughout the year too, which was something that we really didn't do that much of in 2024. We did participate in the Bitcoin conference and the startup day, but you know, we had a number of speaking positions throughout this year. And I just love hearing the topic of innovation being talked about a little bit more broadly. And so I think there's still not a lot of it happening, but we hope that we can continue this. But we spoke at the Plan B Forum, at BitBlock Boom, at Bitcoin 2025. And, you know, inside of Mexico, where I'm based, we held a special workshop at BBVA Spark Space as part of Mexico Tech Week to talk about Bitcoin treasuries for startups, which was a really well received. We were registered up to the maximum of 125 people with a wait list almost that long. So there's a lot of curiosity about it among the traditional startup community, too. So we hope to bring this method of thinking to traditional VCs and traditional entrepreneurs that even if they're not working in Bitcoin, that they can use Bitcoin as a financial foundation to help them have a better control over their finances and their fundraising as they go forward. So that was a brand new thing that we did that was just in October of this year, but we want to continue that conversation, that thought process too.
Because it's such a strong savings technology that you suddenly have new tools, right? And one thing that we've been dedicating quite a bit of time and research and work on is these alternative funding models. And we have seen some successful cases of that in this year. We've seen startups executing on these alternative funding mechanisms. And specifically, you know, we're referring to, it can be a variety of things, but incorporating Bitcoin in, whether it's in the investment contract itself or as part of your treasury / balance sheet, or maybe maintaining some of your revenues if you're a Bitcoin product or service that actually receives compensation in Bitcoin. There's many flavors to this, but it's a very fascinating new door that's opening up where it is giving founders more control over the growth of their company and the ownership of their company.
Nothing would make me happier than to see founders be able to be successful without having to think about losing their company as an outcome, either through an acquisition or going public, where you have to kind of, you know, report on a time frame that may be different than your Bitcoin ethos as a private company. So I think having Bitcoin as a foundational instrument in your toolbox, that I think what we've been exploring is how can that help a founder retain more control? But on the other side, you know, if they're raising investment, they need to give a healthy return to their investor. Otherwise, it takes away the incentive for investing. So what if you could give investors greater odds of having a healthy return, even if it's not, you know, 100x, but if it's a 20x, you know, 20% return, or a return that's above the traditional market plus inflation rate? You know, how would that change the ability to attract startup investment capital? I think it'd be incredibly healthy for the ecosystem. It'd have more money flowing in because the opportunities for making a return are stronger, and it'd give founders more control. So, you and I have taken a page out of the Michael Saylor playbook. I mean, I've watched him remake capital markets by going to AI, you know, to AIs and say, how could we redo preferred, you know, instruments, or, you know, convertible debt, or this and that. And so we've been doing the same thing. And we've been spending a lot of time and exchanging ideas between us and with other advisors of ours, and just saying, hey, can we remake venture capital or startup capital in a way that is healthy for both the investor and for the startup? And on a Bitcoin foundation, we believe that's possible. So we're going to continue to explore those ideas in 2026 and hopefully be able to implement some of them.
Yeah. And we are seeing the early signs of these changes. And just to be very specific as well, I mean, it does extend your runway. So, you know, of course, you have to keep in mind it has some short-term fluctuations and volatility, just like we all know, but it absolutely does, right? I mean, we've seen concretely many of the founders we've spoken to, maybe they're not needing to raise as quickly, you know, maybe if they had just stayed in the fiat mindset and world they'd be needing to fund in 6 months to a year. Whereas when instead we're hearing, yeah, you know, since we have a part of our balance sheet in Bitcoin, you know, we can be a little more patient with when we'll need to raise the next round and be very strategic about it. Or we've had some conversations where they just raised a round or they're raising a round and quite specifically and purposefully dedicating a portion of that round to begin to build a balance sheet in Bitcoin. And if you don't have to be, you know, speculative or, you know, go all in. I mean, we're talking about very well thought out, smart, strategic ways of doing this. So, you know, maybe it's a 10% allocation, or maybe it's, you know, closer to a 20 or 30 or 40%. We've seen some aggressive cases. Whatever it looks like for you, it does concretely change the way you raise capital and how much you'll need it down the line. So there's so many things to discuss there. And with that all being said, Lynn, I mean, I know we were trying to keep this concise. Anything else that comes to mind as far as the year interview?
Well, I think, you know, looking ahead to 2026, one of the exciting things that we're working on is to have a conference in May in Mexico geared for high net worth individuals, the corporate treasuries, family offices about getting involved in Bitcoin. So it extends a little bit beyond what we talk about in startup investing and also just having a Bitcoin treasury, which we feel is the foundation. And it just helps to kind of grow that ecosystem of potential investors or potential knowledgeable people. We're exciting about putting this together. So it isn't 100% sure, but if you're interested in learning more about it and participating, please reach out to us and we'll have more details coming out in the first of the year as soon as we kind of put a few more dominoes on the table.
Thanks for remembering to make mention of that, because that's one of our biggest events for 2026. As you mentioned, more to come, but I'm sure it will be a very exciting conference. It's going to be quite unique, I think. And just broadly, we're thinking of splitting it between kind of a macro lens and then also, of course, the innovation lens. We'll keep it high level for now. With that, you know, thank you to all of our, of course, to all of our guests, everyone who has supported us in one way or another.
And especially grateful for our listeners. I mean, yes, absolutely our guests, because they're what make it possible, but our listeners. And just a reminder, it's like you and I are not podcasters by profession, but it is important if you enjoy the content to just hit the like button, share it, make a comment, because it's all driven by the algorithms on what the visibility is of the podcast. And we'd love for more people to hear the content and to, you know, understand what's happening in innovation. So any kind of sharing that you can do is greatly appreciated. But for the meantime, we just hope everybody has a really happy and healthy end of the year, holiday season, celebrating the coming of 2026. And we just look forward to more opportunities in the future to reconnect with everybody that is part of our growing community and express our appreciation to you.
And one final note, we have recently moved our hosting to Fountain, and we've always been available on Fountain, but just as a gentle reminder, if you do enjoy our content and feel inclined to support through Sats, that's of course something we very much appreciate and look forward to connecting with everyone in 2026.